on that day. Okay. All right, if you need a bulletin, Staple, can you hand me mine? We have quite a few scriptures today. If you, of course, you can just always grab your Bible and open it. I encourage you to. But if you need one of these, just raise your hand and usher will get you one of those. Or you can slip out into, they're coming. I want to talk today about the power of the testimony. And I'm kind of excited about the sermon because I'm sharing, lots of people are going to share today, or several, and so I'm not the only one that's going to talk this morning. But our testimonies are a really, really powerful, powerful thing in our lives, honestly. Very powerful. And yes, it's the testimony of how did you come to Christ, but since the moment you came to Christ, you have probably hundreds of testimonies of God's faithfulness, of his provision, of the way he's led you, the way he's been with you in dark moments, times he's come through for you. I mean, loads of testimonies. Brian, a couple months ago, longer than a couple months ago, I have time with time, came to youth group. It was a while ago. And I loved when he shared because it was just like a father in the faith just sharing testimonies. Oh, I remember when I was young and I was in love with a girl and thought I was going to marry her, but she wasn't the one. Just a testimony. And look, and he's got the cream of the crop. You're lucky God didn't let you marry that other one, whoever she was. I don't think she knew you were alive or something you said. I can't. It was such a fun testimony. There are so many testimonies we carry. And they're so important that we normalize just sharing the testimony of the Lord regularly. When we get together, like, we could talk about the weather, or we could talk about what God's done in our lives. We could talk about our favorite sports team, nothing wrong with it. Or we could talk about what God's doing in our lives. Testimonies are so powerful. This morning, it's cold out, someone was joking about getting baptized at Ravine Lake. And I'm like, we could do it. We could bust the ice out and do it seriously. And just, you know what came out of me immediately? My family history. My grandmother's whole family got saved when she was 8 years old. They lived in the Black Hills. They were very rough, rough pioneer family. My great-grandfather, my grandma's father was a gambler. They were really a rough family. My grandma, she was 8 years old. Her grandfather, whose name was Grandpa Mann, same name as mine, isn't that weird? So my great-great-grandfather was also a man, M-A-N-N. Anyway, he had a weird tumor, like, on his neck. And back then, I mean, this is like, what, early turn of the century. There's not much you can, and they're poor, and they're in South Dakota in the early 1900s. There's not a lot you could do medically. Anyway, it was very unsightly, and it was in the middle of the winter. There was a young, single woman evangelist who traveled around preaching with her mother. She was 15 or 16 years old, and her mom would come with her, and she would go from church to church through the Midwest, preaching the gospel and bringing people to Christ. Well, they were traveling through the Black Hills, through the Custer area, and a terrible storm came up. And they literally knocked on my great-great-grandpa man's house and said, can we stay? And of course, hospitality is huge, and that it just was big. And so he's like, yes, of course. They came in. They spent the night at the house. Through the course of the evening, she says, do you mind if I pray for you for the obvious thing, the white elephant in the room, this unsightly thing on his neck? I wish I had a picture. I don't. Anyway, and he's like, yeah, of course. My family were heathens at this point in history. Absolute heathens. She prayed for him, and the next morning he got up and the tumor had fallen off and he was 100% healed. He made his way over to my grandma's neighboring farm where her family lived, showed him what happened and said, I think we all should load up in the wagons and go to church tonight. They all loaded up through the snow, went to Custer, and the whole family got saved that one night. Three generations. And they broke the ice in the Custer River and got baptized in the middle of the winter. So I'm like, bring it on. Let's get in touch with our pioneer roots. Or we could do a bathtub or like, you know, rent the hotel over here. We have other options, don't we? But do you know, the testimony of the Lord is powerful. The testimony of the Lord is powerful. From that, my grandma grew up and went into ministry and married my grandfather. They pastored for 40 years. My dad was in ministry for a number of years. Two of his children are in full-time ministry, and all of them are serving the Lord. We have a saying in our family, every McKinley serves Jesus. McKinley is my maiden name. Every McKinley serves Jesus. I think that could be said of the Cawkins family. Every Cawkins serves Jesus. You guys have a stellar legacy in Christ. Your testimony has power, whether it's a testimony of how your family line got redeemed from darkness, or whether it's a testimony of how last week you overcame seasonal depression and got to come into a place of worship again and got fresh perspective. Your testimony is powerful. So testimony, really, what does that word mean? So when someone is to testify in court, what do? They take the stand and they speak of what they know. If you're taking the stand to testify, you're not supposed to speak of something you don't know, right? That would be a false testimony. You speak of what you know. You take a stand and they're like, do you know this person on the front row? Yes, I know that person. Did you see them at Walmart at 10 o'clock p.m. the other night? I saw them there. Did they have, you know, whatever, you go through. You only testify of what you know, right? So when the Lord says that the testimony of the Lord is powerful, you don't have to speak of anything you don't know. But what God has revealed to you, what he's done in your life, we're to share. We're to take the stand in our life, so to speak, and say, let me tell you about what God has done for me. Let me tell you of his faithfulness. This is amazing because Nikki just walked in. Nikki and Alan. Nikki, all the way through worship. Oh, goodness. I'm just going to hope this is going to be okay. All the way through worship, I was looking, scanning the crowd, hoping you were going to come today. Because when you first started coming here, you weren't wearing a boot and walking. Nikki, can you come up? Do you want to do it here or do you want to come on up? This is going to be cool. Nikki has zero warning that she's going to give a testimony this morning. Goodness gracious, you are a walking miracle. And we're going to find out why, guys. Okay, so Nikki, what happened to your foot?
I was involved in a work accident, and I was actually ran over by a forklift.
How long ago was that?
It happened August 26th.
Okay, so what happened? What was the state of your foot after the forklift?
It swelled up, turned black. I actually had to have stitches in my foot and everything in between my toes. I was not able to walk. And
you're in a wheelchair, right?
Yes. And they didn't even know what I was going to be able to do. They didn't know if I was going to be able to save my foot, nothing.
Okay, so I want you to, if this isn't true, make sure to correct me, but I heard your foot was actually dying.
Yes. Is that correct? Yes.
Yeah. And that the doctor felt like he didn't want to say the word to you, but that he was pretty certain he was going to amputate.
Yes, that is correct.
So it was worse than just a broken bone. Mm-hmm. Am I right that the whole actual, all the tissue, there's like something happens when you're completely flattened, right?
Yes.
Tissue no longer exists.
Yes. It's correct.
Okay, so you came, really made a powerful decision to follow Jesus mm-hmm. a couple months ago, right?
Yep. October 4th.
First of all, that's a testimony, right? Woo! We're so glad you're part of the family. And since that time, you started looking at your foot a little different.
Yep.
Did you start praying for your foot?
I did. And Jenny was praying, and I asked Jeff to keep praying. So.
And then what has happened now? What was the latest thing that happened with your foot?
They actually debrided the last of the black tissue that was dying off. And I end up with a hole. And today, it's like nothing, hardly at all. And
it's about the size of like a mole now.
Yes, it is so small now, and I'm just, I don't know, it's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
It really is. So.
This woman was going to have her foot amputated because it was dying, and Jeff said he saw the foot, and he's like, ooh, it was like quite a sight. Can we give Jesus glory? Yeah. Yes, thank you for sharing. Thank you so much. For Nikki's salvation, but guess what? He didn't just die for your sins. He also died for the healing of your body and for the restoring of your relationships and for the restoring of your heart. Praise God. Wow, thanks for going with that. Thank you so much. Goodness gracious. It's all about living a life of remembering who God is and how he's been faithful to you personally. And actually, it's a big deal. The Lord commanded Israel over and over to remember what he did. Actually, he was telling Israel to remember what he did for them as a people and as a nation. Hundreds of years later, he was like, don't forget Egypt. 400 years later, he said, don't you forget the Red Sea. There are stories that are in our history, in family histories, but in your personal history, that you are supposed to remember and feed yourself off of continually. Deuteronomy 6:12 says, the Lord says to Egypt, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. How many of you have been set free from something? Yes. Guess what? You have a prophetic word. Remember it. That's your word from the Lord. Remember. Remember what God's done for you. Remember how he set you free from slavery. Slavery to sin. Slavery to bad mentalities. Sin cycles in your family. Generational junk that keeps piling down and the Lord severed it. Remember it. Deuteronomy 8 says this. Again, the Lord's speaking to Israel. And they're about ready to take the promised land. So he has redeemed them out of slavery, out of Egypt. He's done all these miracles for them. And he's really preparing them as a people to go in and possess the promise, which is this new land that they're actually going to, physical land that they're going to own. And he says this, be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you from the wilderness for these 40 years. Remember how he humbled you. Oh, do you have a humbling season? Do you have a season where God humbled you? Guess what? It's part of your testimony. It's actually part of the story of God's goodness to you. The dark seasons even, that he pulled you through. It says, remember how he humbled you to prove your character, to find out whether you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to your ancestors. He did this to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. What is he saying? Remember that the Lord said, you don't live by what you see. You live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. For these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out. That's a cool testimony. I want new clothes, whether they wear out or not, personally. But no, it's a testimony. Your clothes didn't wear out. I guess I just need to be thankful that those jeans still fit me 10 years later. Keep wearing them on them. For these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. He's like, remember how I've disciplined you. Sometimes some of you, that word discipline is almost equates in your mind to abuse. That's not true. If you had a good parent, they disciplined you for your own good. If you had a healthy family, you're now as an adult go, thank God my parents disciplined me. And God's a really good dad. When he disciplines, he doesn't abuse. He teaches you through it, right? Skip down to verse 10. When you have eaten your fill, in other words, when you're in the good days, when you've come through the bad stuff and you're in the good days, when you've eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Verse 11, but that is the time to be careful also. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord. See, there's this theme. We just have to remember what he's done and live in the remembrance, the testimony of the Lord over our life. Do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, decrees that I'm giving you. Down to verse 14. Be careful. Do not become proud at the time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from a rock. He fed you with the manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and to test you for your own good. He did all of this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Verse 18, remember the Lord your God. He is the one that gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed with your ancestors. Happy people remember what God's done for them. Your personal story of God's faithfulness in your life is so powerful. I want to just give you about four or five things. I can't remember how many I have on your sheet. Four or five reasons why your personal testimony is so powerful. I don't know if you've ever thought this, if you've ever heard someone with a preacher come up and share their testimony, and their testimony was like, I was a gangbanger and spent 10 years in prison and killed 10 people, and then Jesus rescued me, and now I'm like, they're on fire, and they know the word, and like their testimony is like, oh, I can't believe what God could do in that person's life. And you kind of feel all of a sudden like, oh, I don't really have a testimony compared to that guy. Be thankful you don't have that guy's testimony, honestly. Every one of you have a testimony of God's faithfulness, and your testimony exalts Jesus. And not to be too cheesy or corny, but you know how like no two snowflakes are the same, right? Can I just go into a Hallmark movie right now in the level of cheese for just a second? Yes, Christmas Hallmark is flowing at our house. No two snowflakes are the same. No fingerprints are the same. Truly, your testimony is unique and brings glory to Jesus in a way that nobody else on the face of the earth can do. You bring him glory in a way, in a unique smell, a unique fragrance. It's like a unique piece of artwork, and no one else's painting looks the same. No one's walked your path. No one's fallen into the pits you've fallen in and been rescued out. You have a powerful testimony of God's love, grace, and faithfulness, and you have to speak it in order for him to get glory. I mean, he gets glory because you love him, right? That's cool. But don't you want the whole world to see Jesus? I don't know how many times people said, I don't really know how to share my faith. Just share what Jesus did for you. It's my favorite way to testify. It's natural. It's not forced. I don't have to sit down with a pen and paper and say, can I? Actually, I like doing the three circles method for sharing the gospel. But, you know, sometimes in Walmart, it doesn't work. I don't have to, like, sit down with pen and paper and draw out the gospel. I'm like, oh, my goodness, let me tell you. I'm so sorry you're going through that. I want to encourage you. Let me tell you about this time God really came through for me. And then pray for them. Your testimony exalts Jesus. And I want to call somebody up that I have wanted them to share their testimony for 6 months. And they said yes today. And I love this testimony. You're going to love it too. And exalts Jesus so much. Dustin, can you come up? Yeah. There may not be a more prayed for man in the city of Huron than Dustin. I don't know if anyone has had more prayers go into their salvation. Years of praying. We're so excited to have you in the family. Dustin, okay, so I'm just gonna interview you to walk you through your testimony. I want to know, what was your life like prior to coming to Christ?
It was pretty broken. I was heavy using drugs heavily, and I was into like Buddhism and Hinduism and all kinds of witchcraft stuff. And yeah, it was just really broken. My marriage was broken. And yeah.
Not cool, huh? So in that place of brokenness, share with us what were some of the ways Jesus began to reach into your life or began to show himself to you? Like, just tell us, like, how did he, I mean, here you are lost, it's going to be blinders, full blinders on, going head towards New Age and Buddhism, Hinduism, even occultic junk. And so how did Jesus begin to reveal himself to you?
So my wife was always telling me about Jesus all the time. And a couple of my friends were too, and Jesus was also coming to me in dreams and speaking to me in dreams. So there, in one dream in particular, there was like a storm outside, and I heard like banging on the window, and I pulled the curtain back, and it was Jesus, and he was saying to let him in. And I just kind of started seeing the way Satan was working in the world. And you can see it when you look on movies and the TV and just, like, at the world. And so I just started to realize that if there's a darkness, then there's a light, too. Wow. So, and I wanted to be on the light side. So I was, like, having a really bad day, and I cried out to God, and my wife prayed for me. She, like, had her hand on me, and she was praying for me, and I just started, like, vomiting. I think I was, like, delivered of something. Yeah.
Demon spirits. You're yeah. Really delivered of demon spirits. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So was it like a five-minute experience? Did this kind of take a little time as far as, like, wife praying for you, you crying out to the Lord? What was that like?
I was pretty resistant. It took a long time. So at least like a few years, I would say.
Yeah. But when you started crying out to the Lord that one night and she prayed for you, you threw up, did you just like immediately feel like a new person? How did
It was pretty instant. Like the next day I was just like ready to follow God and do everything. I think like maybe a week or two later I got baptized and yeah.
So tell us. I'm only taking the mic because I want people watching online to also be able to hear. They can't hear unless I speak in the mic. So tell us, what is your life marked by now? Like, what is going on in your life now? Very different than before.
Right. Well, I am clean and sober.
Woo!
And I just love reading the Bible.
That's a new thing.
I wish I had more time to read. And just spending time with my family again, because I was like kind of ditching them to do drugs and not cool things. So yeah, I just feel where I'm at where I should be. I am where I should be.
Right.
Just like with my family, and I have a new family, you guys. And yeah, thank you guys for praying for me.
Okay, just stay right here. Yeah, this is amazing. Yeah, go ahead. There's a little bit more, but we can break in with hand claps. I also want to tell you that Alan and Nikki are your father and stepmother, right? Nikki that just gave this testimony. This is pretty cool connections, isn't it? So, Dustin, since you've come to Christ, have you been sharing your faith with anyone?
Yeah, I guess it's hard to keep quiet about it. People probably want me to shut up.
No.
So I'm always talking to my dad, and I know he gets tired of me. But I'm not going to stop, so.
He guesses that he loves the new.
And my sister and my mom and, you know, just my family members and stuff, so.
Amazing. Thank you, Dustin. That was great. Let's give him another hand clap. Oh, good job, Dustin. That was so great. Thank you for exalting Jesus. Your whole family line has changed. It's amazing. I just love it. Dustin's actually part of a discipleship, like a leadership discipleship group, where he's being trained because he's so passionate about it, how to bring people to Christ and disciple them. And when did this happen? Oh, what was the date, Dustin? Do you remember? Or what month? When did you come to Christ? Mother's Day. What a gift to you, Jen. Mother's Day. Jen says, started out really bad, ended really good. That's right on. That's so good. Wow, praise the Lord. So number one, your testimony is powerful because it exalts Jesus. Number two, your testimony spoken strengthens your own faith. Your testimony spoken out of your mouth strengthens you. Does it exalt Jesus? Yes. But it also strengthens you. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, you have this situation where David, before he was king of Israel, he was on the run for his life, and he was kind of leading a band of outcasts in Israel, honestly. And there's this really bad day where he thinks his life can't get any worse, and then he and his men come back to the village where they're living to find that all of the women and children, the raiders have come in and hauled them all off along with all their belongings. Every wife and every child hauled off by human traffickers, raiders, people from other countries. It's a bad day. And then his men are so full of grief that they decide that they're just going to stone and kill their leader, David. Because, you know, everybody needs a reason to be angry and mad and sad. When people are sad and grieving, they're oftentimes human nature looking for someone to blame. And so here David is, I mean, he's grieving the loss of his own wives. Sorry, he had two. That's not God's plan. That's just what he had. A couple wives, kids, but he's also now grieving that all of his men have turned on him. And it says this, it says that David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, and because of all the people who were bitter in soul, each of his sons and daughters were gone. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. David was the master at remembering what God had done for him in the past, strengthening himself with his own testimony. And we believe that actually Psalm 18, which is this amazing psalm, I started to memorize it. I got six verses in. Maybe I need to pick that back up again. It was so good. But Psalm 18 was written from this experience where he was at his lowest point, strengthening himself with the faithfulness of God, with who God has been to him. And from that place of being able to strengthen himself, he all of a sudden began to take amazing leadership again and said, okay, listen, let's inquire of the Lord. I mean, in the face of everyone stoning you, he just stood up and said, nope, we're going to inquire of the Lord. We're going to see if the Lord tells us to go or not. And if he does, we're going to get everyone back. And he did. The Lord said, go. And he pursued the enemy. And it says he completely overcame them. And he took back all the women and children, all of his belongings, plus some. And not one person was missing, is what he said. So our testimony in our own mouth strengthens our own spirit. You need to talk about what God's done in your life all the time for yourself. If you need to, just talk about it. How many of you, let's, moment of truth, you talk to yourself when no one's around? There's liars. I know, there's so many people. Okay. All right. Well, you might as well. What do you talk to yourself about? Worry half the time. Oh, my goodness. What is going to go on? Or I was such an idiot. Why did I say that in that conversation? And you're just like, you know, whatever you're talking to yourself, you might as well be talking to yourself about all that God's done in your life. My favorite thing to do, and I always pray, God, give me the strength when I need to do this. But when something hits you really hard, if you can capture your first words and make them a testimony, it will steer and guide you through the entire situation. So sometimes something catches you off guard, like all of a sudden you find out, whoa, something's happened with your family, or there's an emergency, or there's, like, you open a bill and you're shocked by, you know, whatever it is, all of a sudden you feel that, like, all these thoughts, but if out of your mouth, you can, this is my favorite thing to like, out of my mouth, I'll say, God, you've always been faithful. I'm forcing myself to say it. You've always been faithful to me. I remember when you provided for me in the past. I remember I've needed your wisdom lots of times before, and I remember that time when you gave me your wisdom when I was in this really tough place. If out of your mouth, your ears, all of hell, and the angels can hear you speaking of God's faithfulness, it literally just sets the course for how you're going to walk through that situation that just came up. Number three, your testimony combats offense and disappointment, especially concerning prayers that have not been answered yet. Each of us have beautiful things that God has done for us, and each of us have things we're still contending for that he has not yet done. It's true. I wish that none of us were still contending for anything, that every prayer has been answered, right? But sometimes you just have to stand there, right? In your Ephesians 5 moment where it says, when you've done everything you know to do, you just stand. How do you stand and stay encouraged? Remembering what he's already done for you. If you only focus on what he has not yet done for you, you will become very discouraged and actually lose faith. Now, do you ever bring up what he hasn't done for you? Yeah, you do that in the secret place in your prayer closet. But as you're walking throughout your day, guess what you feed yourself on? You don't feed yourself on what he hasn't done. You feed yourself on a steady diet of what he has done. There's this thing that I'm really hurting over, Lord, that hasn't happened yet. And I'm going to pray. I'm praying, God, do it. Break into this situation. Help these people that I love. Heal this relationship. And then you lay it at the foot of the cross and you feed yourself throughout the day on, but God, you've been so faithful to me. And you've been so good. And I'm just remembering right now the way that you've worked in Dustin's life and the way that you heal in his marriage and the way that you're doing this over here. And you feed yourself. You can't feed yourself continually on what God has not done. You feed yourself a diet of what he has done, which is so much, believe me. If you don't understand what he did for you, ask him to show you what he's done for you. If you're 5 minutes old in Jesus, God's done 1,000-page book for you already of things. Seriously. See, we can become offended with what God has not done for us if we don't purposely feed ourselves on the testimony of the Lord. Because he's really good, and the enemy is so happy to come in and tell you that God's withholding good things from you. That is a lie. He is not your problem. He's your solution, right? He's not the cause of your pain. Sin, Satan, broken world, there's lots of causes of our pain, but God is not the cause. He is the solution. And when we get offended, like, you know, that offense begins to come in, like, God, why aren't you working for me? Honestly, that shuts down faith. That shuts down the flow of being able to hear his voice. That shuts down your ability to walk in the anointing, just in a free heart before the Lord. You got to go after that thing, repent of any offense that you carry towards the Lord, and say, Lord, I'm going to believe you for this thing. I'm broken over it maybe even, but I'm going to feed myself on your goodness and your goodness in my life. When I was thinking about this morning, actually, last Sunday, I was in worship, and this message just kind of came to me, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited about this message. And right away, I had Dustin and I had Joy Calkins in my heart to share. And Joy, I'd like you to come up right now. And Joy had an amazing healing in her life a number of years ago that she's going to share with us. And everyone might notice, Joy is coming up in a wheelchair. She's still believing God for a few things. And we're believing with her for your complete healing from MS. We stand with you. But Joy has been an example to me for as long as I have known her and Lance both of someone who feeds themselves continually on the goodness of God and lives in the testimony of the Lord. It is inspiring to me. And I want to tell you this, that like, When you hear a testimony, the power of God is on the testimony. It's his story, right? It's his story, and there's actually a power to even multiply the miracle, so to speak. So if you have a healing that you need in your life, let your faith rise right now. All right, Joy, so I want to know what was... Joy dealt with environmental illness, right? Tell us what environmental illness is.
Okay, I was sensitive to, like, everything. I was, like, in the house. I love people. I love being with people. But I couldn't take the smell of colognes or anything chemical. The phone even bothered me, electrical things. So I was a people person who loved being with people and colognes and that type of thing just drained the life out of me.
So did you have to be at home? Like, did you feel housebound?
Yep, and I had to be careful with talking on the phone, too.
So,
and I was, like, really sensitive to ink. Lance used to work at a print shop place, and he got really sensitive to the smell, like on his clothes when he'd come home. And I remember days doing homeschool from bed wearing a gas mask, and that's before wearing a mask was popular, and trying to teach phonics.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
So I just want to encourage anybody who's thinking of homeschool. God helps you. You can do it.
That too, right? She's amazing. So I forgot to ask you, how long ago was this that you were dealing with environmental illness?
In the 1990s.
In the 90s. And how long did you have it?
4 or 5 years, something like that.
So for 4 or 5 years, you were, and you correct me because I want the testimony to be true, you were actually allergic to your environment, including the smell of ink on people's clothes, perfumes, lotions, any kind of...
And like mosquito spray. The city would come spray for mosquitoes, and that was like a really bad deal. And I can tell you this, God was faithful to us, even in the midst of everything, because I was on the phone praying with a friend because it was spraying right around her area. And Lance was outside trying to guard her yard. And this is what happened. The wind changed directions at the exact precise second to stop it from...
So she can't stop herself. It's testimonies within testimonies. It's a testimony with this little. She can't hold it in. It's amazing. So, Joy, I wanted to ask you this too. Like, what happened when you would come in contact with something, a mosquito spray, or like what actually happened to your? Like, how would you suffer?
I'd get real lightheaded. It would just get all mixed up with MS type symptoms too.
Okay. Right.
Sometimes I couldn't concentrate. Just it would get all mixed up with.
Okay. So you had this life-controlling, terrible illness inhibiting your life, and you couldn't even, not only were you trapped in the house, but you even couldn't even really get that outlet of talking to people on the phone. But so how did you receive a healing? What happened? Tell us the story.
Okay, this is what happened. I was reading the book Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth, and we've had so many things said, like, God wants you sick to glorify him, and you're sick because of sin in Lance's life. On and on and on it goes, believe me. And I read this book, and it came against that type of thing so wonderfully, and I felt so much of God's love for me that it's almost like intoxicated, just over the top,
wow.
Knowing that God loved me, and he wanted to help me out of this. And so... You know, that was like a big, huge thing, feeling all of the love and his wanting to help.
So you part of your testimony of how you received your healing is there was like a renewing of your mind. If essentially the Lord began to show you how much he loved you and he didn't want you to be sick. Sickness wasn't like what he desired for your life. Okay, so then what happened after that?
Okay, man, we've had so many things happen.
No, I meant how did you receive, like, specifically, how did you know you were healed from environmental illness?
Okay, well, it came in the midst of all kinds of symptoms. And, like, I was over the top, as I said, reading this book. And I was warned not to go to church because I would get sick because they were spot painting. And it's like I was no way going to retreat because they knew that the power of God inside of me was bigger than the stuff coming at me.
So good.
And so I went inside the church and I could smell the paint and I could feel that just like enter into my system and all the lightheadedness and all the symptoms, everything came. But I absolutely knew that God's power in me was greater than all that, but it was very intense. So I just closed my eyes and knew that the power of God, his life inside of me was greater. And yeah, that was like a big victory. Oh, but just interesting, the next morning I woke up and my head felt like a chemical hangover, is what I called it. And the thought came through my head, oh, you should have known better than to think you could get by with such a thing. I dismissed the thought, went on my way, and it was a permanent victory. So
from that,
yeah, my victories came in the midst of all kinds of symptoms and stuff. Huh?
So your really part of your testimony is that you actually had to persevere in what you felt like God wanted to do for you. And in the persevering, you actually received your full healing from environmental illness. I mean, I'm wearing lotions right now, and sorry, I wouldn't if she actually still had this.
So, oh, and like another real big, huge deal to me, I hadn't been to church for years, and Lance was visiting. It was at the Open Bible Church, and Brian Hofer's uncle was there, Gordon Hofer. And Lance thought, boy, if there's ever a time I'm going to get Joy out of the house, this is it. So he came back to get me. I said, Joy, we're going to go to church. And I said, there's no way I can tolerate that. There's chemical smells, there's bright lights, because I couldn't tolerate light at all. And, you know, it was like really stubborn, but he was more stubborn. And it was just wonderful being with other people. Yeah.
Sat laying back by the soundboard.
Yep. Yeah. And now here we are with these awful fluorescent lights that we someday hopefully will change for something different. And all of you are wearing perfumes and lotions. And we got, you know, who knows what someone used to clean the bathroom last week. All these things that would normally have sent you through the roof. And since whatever 90s at some point, you are now completely healed from environmental illness specifically, right?
Yes. Oh, and something that we learned too is like I would be in a room and I would be starting to get a reaction. This was after I started going to church. I'd be getting all lightheaded and feeling funny. And then later we would see that, oh, they were cleaning the bathroom with chemicals. And so even though I didn't see what was going on, that reinforced things in my head that, yes, I'm sensitive. But then I heard like Pastor Henry Wright say that the spirit of fear can see behind closed doors. And I thought, you know, I've tried everything. I've done homeopathy drops. I've just done all this stuff trying to get help. I have no problem believing that. I'll just receive that. And anyhow, it's that type of thing went away too.
Awesome.
Where I'd get those. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for sharing, Jay. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. You know,
oh, of course.
I wanted to say this. It's like right before Autumn called, I've been thinking about these testimonies. And this is what came into my heart, and I wanted to say it to everybody. The Spirit of God in me, which was much more powerful than EI, and it's also more powerful than MS.
Amen.
I feel like I've made MS like really big capital letters in a bigger font. Mm-hmm. And so MS, like little M, yeah. Little S.
Yeah. Mm. Let's just, actually, can we just pray for you? Let's just make a declaration even. Just put your hands towards Joy. Let's agree the power of Christ in her is greater than little M, little S, right? And so we just declare, we are in agreement with Joy's faith statement. The risen Christ inside of Joy is so much greater than little lowercase ms in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Joy. Let's give her another hand clap. A faith and an attitude like that doesn't happen in a void. It happens on purpose because you train your mind to think on the word and on the Lord, right? Our minds are unruly little monsters, little three-year-olds that just want to throw temper tantrums and run the show. Little strong-willed, oh, you guys all know one of those little strong-willed kiddos. You got one. And sometimes you got to take this thing and you got to tell it what it's going to think on and what you're going to speak. Joy and Lance, you're absolute inspirations. I love you guys so much. Number four, your testimony builds faith in others who hear it. Your testimony strengthens your own faith, but your testimony builds faith in others who hear it. I don't know how many times a couple who's been through a really rough spot, maybe almost got a divorce even, and the Lord's come in, healed their marriage, and when they share that, all of a sudden hope comes into wrecked marriages in the room. Your testimony, your unique story of God's faithfulness will strengthen other people around you. It exalts Jesus. It combats offense and disappointments that we're walking through. It strengthens your own faith, but it strengthens the brothers and sisters around you and even unbelievers to come to Christ. Testimonies multiply miracles. It's really what it is. I love this verse in Revelation 19:10. It says, I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus. Here we go. This is what I want to say. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Like the Lord just wants his word to just be prophesied throughout the earth, right? And the testimony of Jesus, the testimony of what he certainly did on the cross, but the testimony of what he's done through his sacrifice for each of us, there's a prophetic, supernatural element to it. There's a power on the testimony to grab a hold, for faith to rise and for us to grab a hold and say, if God did that for Dustin, then he can do that for my son or daughter that's lost. Or if he did that for Nikki, he can do that for me. It's like the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It stirs up faith in others to believe God for great things. I don't know if you really know this, if it's in the Bible, you can have it in Jesus. Did you know that? If it's in the Bible and you can see it, let your faith rise up, you can grab a hold of it and have it. All the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Is there a promise you can see in the Word? Let your faith grab a hold of it. And when you see the testimony of the Lord being released, it's the promise of God in fulfillment in front of you, right? It's like, whoa, God fulfilled that promise for that person. Look what they did. Look what he did for them. I forgot to grab this book, but years ago, I read a book called White Knuckle Faith. How many of you know Jeannie and Dave Kaufman? They're the pastors at Holy Life Tabernacle in Brookings, South Dakota. They have been there forever. They planted that church. They're preparing to retire soon. I mean, they have been in Brookings, given their entire, they went to college at SDSU. I mean, they've given their entire like Christian lives to that area and to just being faithful. But when they were just starting planting the church there in Brookings, they have two children, and their daughter actually came down with a really hard to diagnose, super rare form of muscular dystrophy. Joy, do you remember this testimony? It wasn't MS, it was MD, right? Okay. I think it was a very, in fact, she was the South Dakota poster child for that for years and helped with the fundraisers for studies for this and stuff. Anyway, it was extremely serious. She almost died on a number of occasions and very crippled from it. And anyway, and this story, White Knuckle Faith, is the story of their journey of grabbing a hold of the promises of God. White Knuckle. And saying, grabbing a hold of Jesus, I'm not going to let go. Gradually, miracle upon miracle, their daughter did not die or get so crippled that she couldn't walk. She was at that point many times, actually. But gradually, the Lord healed her as they just stood in faith. And she is today a pharmacist. And she's married. And she has children. And she looks healthy and she looks beautiful. And I grabbed a hold of that book very, very early on, maybe like, goodness gracious, 13 years ago or something. Right after my Malachi, who's now 20, he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when he was 3 years old. And we had to go on, like, he was completely insulin dependent and shots and specialized diets. And it was super serious, actually. Anyway, and very traumatic for me as a mom. And so painful. And I remember getting that book, just had met them, getting that book. And in one night, I read it from cover to cover. And you know what I said? God, if you did it for them, you can do it for me. Now, I already theologically believed in healing. It wasn't like I was learning for the first time that God heals. But the testimony of God's faithfulness, it does something in our hearts, doesn't it? I'm so glad they took the time to write it down. Because the testimony was like, I could relate. They had a child. There was so much agony over the pain that this child was going through, the suffering, and they almost lost her a couple times. Like, really, really serious. And yet, here she is. By the time she's graduating, going through college, she's living more of a normal life and more of a normal life until she is completely healed and has no diagnosis hanging over her head anymore. Praise God. I like instant healings, but I'll take it however God wants to dish it. If he wants to heal my son one day at a time, gradually needing less and less insulin, fine by me, Lord. Just do it, right? But there's something powerful. The testimony, your testimony builds faith in other people. It's almost like we're constrained by the Spirit to speak it. You have to speak your testimony. Do you know other people's faith are depending on it? Not to put heaviness on you, but that's how powerful it is. Other people's victories are related to the victory the Lord has delivered to you. That's powerful, isn't it? Some of you went through some dark seasons, and the Lord's going to bring you into so much healing, and that's how he redeems. Remember that word? All things work together for the good of those that love him, are called according to his purpose. And sometimes when you're in the middle of the junk, you're like, yeah, right. It's true, though. Don't let go of Jesus and just see what he does when he pulls you through to the other side. And then see how he uses. I'm not even saying that God wanted you to go through the darkness. I'm not saying that. But look how he uses Satan's rage even against you for his glory, your good, and the building of other people's faith. If you don't let go of Jesus, you can't lose. Even if you're martyred, you can't lose. I mean, you just can't lose if you don't let go of Christ. But I encourage you, your testimony builds up other people. It stirs up faith. Share it. Number five, last thing. Your testimony brings you into victory over the enemy. This is really good. How many of you have ever experienced heaviness? I don't mean you gained a few pounds in the holidays. I mean like depresso espresso. Like you're just like, maybe it's not full on depression, but you feel like days where you're like, life is heavy. And you could feel the 50 pounds resting on your chest. Or the like, it's crazy how in your physical body you can feel the heaviness of your situation. Isn't that insane sometimes? Your physical body can even like reflect the heavy situation that you might be going through. I tell you what, your testimony brings you into victory over a spirit of heaviness. It's really true. It's really true. Listen to this, Revelation 12:11. the saints, talking about you and I, the saints, they have conquered Satan. They've conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. Nothing happens apart from Jesus, right? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and by loving not their lives even unto death. Recipe for overcoming the enemy every time. Lay down your life. It's not your own. Just lay it down. You got to start at the cross, like it should start at the beginning, the blood of the Lamb, right? And then the word of your testimony, you speaking out your mouth what God has done for you and what he's promised in a posture of just surrender before the Lord brings you into victory every time. That's how you overcome. That's how the saints will overcome in the end times when, you know, all the stuff is coming down and literally the world is in absolute chaos. And it's how you'll overcome this afternoon. And it's how you'll overcome tomorrow. Speak it. What's God done for you? Literally, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about how this scripture, how we overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony, which is just, oh, he's so good. It's like we just overcome him. We conquer over him. And I was like, I'm like, why, Lord? Why is it? But it's like, you know how in Ephesians 5, it says that when dress in the full armor of God and take up the shield of faith, right? Which extinguishes all the fiery darts of the enemy. So the enemy brings accusation and attack, and it's not even supposed to reach us because of our faith. Faith is a shield. Faith, trust, belief in God for who he is, who he says that we are, believing his promises. And so when you, one of the reasons I think that there's such an overcoming power in our testimony is that it literally builds our faith. Like we're continually remembering who he is, which like keeps you, you know, do you want to get hit less from the accusations and attack of the enemy? Build your faith. Honestly, faith is a shield. It like just puts you into like a, it puts you into a safe place where like that accusation comes and you're like, they can't touch me. Like, I know who I am in God and who God is to me, right? But there's another thing I think that your testimony does, because it says in that same Ephesians 5, put on the full armor of God. It says, take up the shield of faith. And then it says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? Yes. And we think of the word of God as the Bible. Of course, the Bible is the word of God, right? But guess what the word of God on display is in this world? The testimony of his faithfulness through your life. How do we know that God forgives sins? Well, by faith, and we look at Dustin, right? How do we know God transforms life, lives, by his power? We believe it because it's in his word, and then he puts it on display through us, right? So I think when you're sharing your testimony, you are literally taking a sword in your hand to cut down the enemy. You're building your shield and using your sword in the same moment. You are coming into victory because you're like, the Lord has been faithful to me. He has healed my body. He saved my soul. He's redeemed my relationships. And every time you say that, it's like you're just, look at all the reasons I have to bring a sword every single week. I did it 2 weeks. I should just know every time I preach, just have a sword here in case I need it for a prop. The kids like to play with it too much afterwards. It makes me too nervous. So honestly, we conquer the enemy. We have victory over him through the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and by just laying down our lives. I'd like us to stand up right now. Actually, just, Alex, if you want to just put on some music, just real low. But I just want us to quiet our heart before the Lord. And this is a simple message. Any one of you who know Jesus can walk away today and live a life where the word of the Lord is on your mouth all the time from this point forward. Where you just say, I'm going to live a life of testifying. Right now, I just want the Lord to come in the room, and I feel like he just wants to remind us of what he's done for us. So some of you, I just actually think right now you're just supposed to ask the Lord, show me what you've done for me. What do you want me to be talking about these days? He's going to remind you of things that happened 20 years ago, things that happened before you even came to Christ, ways that he saved you, times when you shouldn't even be alive, but he was there. Things he did yesterday, things he did last year. Lord, we love you. While you're just like taking this moment to talk to the Lord, I just want to also put an invitation out there. Some of you may have not come to Christ yet in this room. Like, and you're just here for, God has you here for a reason. It's not an accident you're in the room, that you're hearing these good things that God's doing. Let me tell you, all these testimonies we shared today, none of them are because we deserved it. It's because he's just so good. I don't care what you've done, what kind of life you've lived, how much you've run from God, how much you've opposed the Lord. You don't come to Christ because you're good enough or because you deserve it. He's good enough, and he offers it as a free gift because of his love for you, not because of anything you've done or haven't done. Just with every eye closed, no one looking around, if you want to make a decision to follow the Lord today, to give him your entire life, you want to say, today, I want today to be the first day of a really powerful testimony in my own life. I just want you to raise your hand, and we're just going to pray with you. We're not going to point you out or even have you come forward today. We just want to pray for you. Awesome. I love that. It's great. All right, everybody, I want us to, for the people who raised their hand, I want everyone to pray this prayer with me. If you know the Lord today, pray it. Say it loud, say it proud, okay? I want us to pray together. Say, Jesus, we are coming to you. I offer my life to you. I ask you to forgive me for everything I've done that's been a sin against you. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your love. I receive your leadership. From this day forward, I belong to you and I will obey you. And I receive the place of a son or a daughter in your home. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or you're rededicating your life, I just encourage you to come talk to Jeff or I. If you want to start meeting just to learn more about the Word of God, to learn about all the good promises he has for you in the Word. All right, everyone, I love you guys. God bless you. Have an amazing week.